Good morning. All right, we're going to have to be a little more interactive than that today, so let's try that again. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, that's better. All right, thank you, worship team, for leading us in worship. I love just this idea that His mercy is more and how we just need to rely on Jesus every day, every hour, for all that we need. And that ties right into what we're going to be talking about today. But before I start, I was asked to make a quick announcement about the cookie hour, or the cookies are going to be in the old church this morning, in the historic church. So after church, please go over there. There'll be cookies, so you can enjoy the cookies, and you can also enjoy seeing the new improvements over there. So if you haven't been over there, head over there, have some cookies, enjoy seeing that space. So this morning, we're going to be talking about life to the fullest from John 10:10. I think we all have this idea that we want to live life to the fullest. Even just saying that, it might start bringing some thoughts to your head about, yeah, life to the fullest. What does that really mean? What is the good life? I did some searching online, obviously, over the last couple of weeks and started searching the good life or the life to the fullest. There is a lot of information from Harvard to theologians talking about the good life, life to the fullest. What does that mean? So as we jump into that today, normally I'm given a passage to speak on, but we're done with Luke. And so Drew said, hey, preach on whatever you want. So that's what we're doing today. This has been what the Lord has been working on me and in my life over the last 6 months, I'd say. Some podcasts, through some Bible readings, through Bible study, some books that I've been looking at are really kind of influencing the message this morning. So let me pray, and then we'll jump into this message this morning. So God, we thank you for this time to gather together, for this time to worship you. Pray, God, that we would see you today, this morning, that we would be refreshed, that we would be encouraged, that we would just keep our eyes on you. And that this time this morning, as we worship together through singing, through hearing your word, I just pray that we would be refreshed and encouraged to live for you and to carry out the mission that you have called us to in this world. And so we just pray that you would speak through me. May these be your words. And we pray these things in your name. Amen. All right, so the good life. When I think about that in my life, obviously I think about my family and I think about all the good things that the Lord has blessed me with. But one of the stories that I remember was from my Dirty 30 trip. So my buddy Matt, he tries to come up with a name for everything. He's got a nickname for everybody. He had been serving in Afghanistan as in the army. And when he came back from Afghanistan, he had had this idea, hey, let's get all of our camp buddies together and we'll go on a ski trip, right? So this was the end of his tour. And so we got all the buddies together. There was probably about 10 of us. We went up to Washington to go skiing, snowboarding for the week. And the first day was like really terrible. It was like the snow was terrible, you know, it was not good, but we were having fun. By the end of the week, there was like snow so deep that you could hardly get down the hill, right? So we made up this little ditty, a little song, and it went like this. This is the good life, right? Because we were hanging out. We were with our friends. We were having a blast, and it was awesome. I don't have any tattoos, but if I did, one of them would be a cross, and the other one would be hashtag LTD, live the dream. Right? Because we all kind of have this idea that we want to live the dream, right? It's something that we want to pursue. What's this dream that God has given us, or maybe that we, you know, through who God has made us to be, we have these things that we think of as like, that's the dream. And I want to live that dream, right? And so I think there's some spiritual things there. Obviously, we could be selfish with that. But today we're going to be talking about how we can spiritually do that, right? So here's what we're going to do. Before we go any further, we're going to take 30 seconds. And you're going to tell somebody sitting next to you, what when I say the good life or life to the fullest, what comes to your mind? And share that with somebody next to you, all right? You got 30 seconds, group of two or three, share really quickly what that means to you, okay? Go. All right, I want to hear somebody just shout out some of the things that you talked about. What were some of the things that were shared? Where we live, yeah, it's just such a beautiful place. Just driving around all the time, I'm like, wow, we are so blessed. Yeah, Dan?
Working at Camp Fall Festival
and amen to that. Yeah, that's awesome. So thanks for that plug, Dan. Appreciate that. All right, anybody else? What else were some of the things we talked about? Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, kind of living in the moment, enjoying where we are. Yes?
Our past service and our dreams of serving more.
past service, dreams of serving. What else? Family, yes, thank you, there it is. Yep, that's a good one. All right, anything else?
Cookies,
yes, good food. Yeah, amen to that, right? That's the good life, especially a good warm chocolate chip cookie. Yeah, that's so good. All right, so those are good things. Those are good things that the Lord gives us to enjoy. But I'm not sure that that's what Jesus is really talking about when he talks about life to the fullest here, right? Because those things are temporary. Those things are all things, like you could burn the cookies and then they're not very good, right? We have struggles with family, right? And then it can turn this thing that is beautiful and it's good, and it can become something that's a challenge and that's hard. So today we're going to talk about the good life. And yes, those are all awesome things. We should pursue those things earnestly because they are good. But we're going to go a little bit deeper than that today because those things will fade away. One of the quotes that I heard from, I can't remember who it was from now, but if you make happiness your goal, you will miss it every time. So if we make these things our goal, because we think that they're going to be the thing that makes us happy, they're going to disappoint. I think all the time about these movie stars, rock stars, people who have everything that we would think, oh, they have everything that's going to make them happy. They can have a house anywhere they want. They can travel to anywhere they want. If the weather's bad here, they'll go over there. They have everything and they're unhappy. So if we make happiness our ultimate goal, it will let us down every time. And so I don't think that's what God is telling us here. In high school, I loved movies. I like to watch movies. Anybody else movies? You guys like watching movies? Okay. Anybody seen The Long Kiss Goodnight? It's kind of from the 90s. Anybody seen that? Emily, thank you. Yes, I made Emily watch it. All right. So in that movie, there's this lady. She has memory loss, and she gets in a car accident. And her memory starts coming back, but it's kind of like a Jason Bourne type movie. Turns out that she's like this CIA, like top killer kind of person. And this line from this movie always stood out for me. She has a daughter, right? Because after she had amnesia, you know, she was in this accident. She lost all her memory. And then she starts a family. And she's like chopping carrots in the kitchen. And then all of a sudden, she like when her memory starts coming back, she's like really chopping the carrots, you know, like really fast with the knife. And then she picks it up and throws it at the wall. And it's like, ding, like sticks in. She's like, whoa, who am I, right? So she eventually starts to like figure out, hey, this was in my past. And she's there. Then, you know, the bad guys are trying to find her and they're trying to take her out. And she's ice skating across this like huge frozen lake with her daughter. And her daughter falls over. And the mom looks at her and she says, get up. Life is pain. Anyone who tells you otherwise is trying to sell you something, right? So life is pain. Life is hard. We have these good things that we think of, right, that we want to pursue, but sometimes we go through a difficult season. Sometimes we go through a difficult day, hour by hour. And so life can be hard. We can lose the faith. We can lose our vigor. Our faith becomes commonplace. We lose the fire. We lose sight of the mission. Our lives don't always really feel like the good life, right? I think everybody could resonate that, yes, it doesn't always feel like the good life. So when Jesus says, I have come to give you life and life to the fullest, what does he mean? I mentioned the Great Opportunity Study. This is a study that was done by the Pine Tops Foundation. It's really exploring the reasons why young people are leaving the church. About 1 million young people are leaving the church every year. These are people who grew up in the church. They grew up going to Sunday school, into camp. They were, you know, in the Christmas services up here on stage singing. And a lot of them, 1 million every year, are leaving the faith. Why? Well, the study goes into that. So let me give you a little bit of insight. The majority of the disaffiliated did not come through a crisis of faith or intellectually reject church teachings. 72% of the young people that are leaving church today are leaving because they just weren't interested in the Christianity that they saw. They lost interest and drifted away or had a life change and then just never went back, or in the study, they just listed no specific reason for leaving the faith. David Kinnaman, in his book, You Lost Me, he kind of expands on that a little bit more and says, record numbers of youth see religion as irrelevant to their lives. All these sources confirm the same diagnosis. Young people don't think a life with Jesus is worth their time. That's really sad. There's not one specific reason for 72% of these kids that are leaving the faith, young adults. They don't list any specific reason other than that they didn't really see something that drew them in. They didn't see the full life in Christ that he offers, and so they kind of just drift away. Not saying that there aren't specific reasons, because there are people kind of lose the faith. You know, there's scandals in the church. There's particular identification with political parties or leaders that kind of turn some people off. There's social issues. And there's certainly been a lot of books that have been written about those things as well and addressing those things. How can we address those things as we work with young people to help them see life to the fullest in Jesus? So what has happened? We know that everyone wants a good and happy and healthy life. Do we truly believe that in Jesus, I have life to the fullest? I'm asking, right? I'm asking you, and you don't have to answer out loud. This is not the interactive part, unless you want it to be. I think we need to have a fresh look at Jesus. We really do need a revival in this country. Amen. And it's going to start with prayer, and it's going to start with us living out the calling that he has put on our life. So John 10:10, it says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. This is the gospel, right? Jesus came. He loved me so much. He loved you so much that he was willing to give up everything and come and live, to be born in a manger, to live his life, to die on the cross in my place for my sins, to be raised to new life, and then to offer that to me. It's the gospel. We need to daily be reminding ourselves of the gospel. Jesus says, I came to give you life, life to the fullest. That life is found in the gospel. But it's not just talking about eternal life, because I think he is talking about eternal life there. He's giving us life eternal, and that's going to be awesome. And we're going to talk about hope, because I think that's a big part of what he's talking about here today. But he's also talking about life today. How does life to the fullest, not just looking forward to heaven someday, how do I live life to the fullest today? We often kind of go through life on cruise control, right? It's just, you know, we're going to just live in our lives. There's nothing big. There's nothing, you know, we're not on the mountaintop. We're not in the valley. We're just kind of hiking down the trail, right? But there are times when we're going to hit those mountaintops or we're going to hit those valleys. And oftentimes when we're in the valleys, it's when we're going to pause and we're going to have time to consider life's big questions. Who am I? Where did I come from? What is life all about? Why am I here? What happens after life? These are life's big questions. And I think addressing these big questions will help us to have that life to the fullest that Jesus is talking about. So life to the fullest means a hope-filled life. What happens after life? Right? If that's one of life's big questions that maybe you have pondered, maybe you're pondering now. Hope is the feeling that tomorrow will be better than today. Right? So we have this eternal perspective. But also, do I think that tomorrow, like actually tomorrow, will be better than today? At camp, we teach a survival class, all right? So we've started doing some outdoor education in the spring and fall. It's been really fun. One of the classes that we've been teaching is survival, right? Really, it's like, hey, here's a couple things that you should know, and now go build forts in the woods. It's really fun. But at the survival class, we talk about hope, okay? So I'm going to ask you some questions about survival. These are general, but if you think you know the answer, just yell it out. Okay, this is the interactive part again. All right, so you can survive 3 weeks without food. Yes, very good. Some of you paid attention in the training last week. 3 days without water. 3 hours without temperature control or shelter. Yes, thank you, Logan. She's one of our outdoor ed instructors. 3 minutes without air, yes, and 3 seconds without hope, yes, thank you. So hope is just so absolutely important to our lives. Those 3 weeks, 3 days, 3 hours, that comes from the Air Force survival training. When they teach pilots how to survive, the most important thing that they teach is you need to keep hope alive, right? The opposite of hope is despair. Looking around, I see a lot of us that are on the brink of despair, right? What if Trump wins? Some people are like, oh, we're all gonna die. Some people are like, well, what if Trump doesn't win? We're all gonna die, you know? What if World War III starts? What if this new movie that just came out, haven't seen it yet, it's called Civil War. It's all about like a modern day civil war. What if that happens? We're all gonna die. You know, what if the stock market crashes? Yes, again, for the so manyth time, yeah. What if I or someone I love gets sick? What if tomorrow is not better than today? Will I go into despair? Or through those things, through those challenges, those trials, can I have hope? Because hope is essential to that full life. Those are real things, but as Christians, we need to maintain that eternal perspective. What's the worst thing that can happen to you? Death? Life without Jesus? Okay, I was thinking suffering too, right? Like, I don't want to suffer. And I don't, especially don't want to watch someone I love suffer, right? To me, that's worse than death. But I think you guys nailed it, right? You're like, you guys already have that eternal perspective of hope, right? What does the Bible say? Okay, without Jesus, there is no hope. Without Jesus, the worst thing that can happen to me is death. But with Jesus, oh death, where is your sting? Right? It eliminates it. Suffering, yes, I might suffer, but life is short. If I have that eternal perspective, this is just a very short thing in the scheme of eternity. So we need to maintain that eternal perspective, that Jesus perspective, as we look at these things that would be the hardest things that we may have to confront. 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 4 says this, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you." Are you living today like you have that living hope? Are you in Christ? If you're not, I would encourage you to look at Jesus. If you are, that's awesome. Keep going. Keep your eyes on Jesus and keep living with that hope that makes a difference for your life today, right now. Tomorrow will be better than today in Christ. So fix your eyes on Jesus. If you need to reset. And if you need to wrestle with this question of, do I really believe what Jesus says? Then wrestle with it. Go back to Jesus. Is Jesus really who he said he was? Is he a liar? Is he lunatic? Or is he Lord? Did he really come back to life? Wrestle with that. Think about that. And come to a point where you can say, yes, I truly do believe that. And it will make a huge difference in your life. So Jesus offers hope. Without him, we will never be able to live life to the fullest. Couple other things to chat about here. Kara Powell she's a professor. She's teaches down in Southern California. She has a PhD in youth ministry, youth development. And I was listening to a podcast from her on my way home from a recruiting trip down south. And she, in her book, in her study, has found what are the questions beneath the questions that teenagers are asking. The questions, they go back to the questions that we are all asking when we go through those hard times, when we have time to stop and think. And she says the most important things that we need to address with our teenagers and that we need to address for ourselves, I think, too, is identity, belonging, and purpose. Beneath any of the other questions, one of those things will be the thing that they really want to know about. So the first thing that we're going to chat about is our identity. Who am I? Where did I come from? The world says, you're a loser. You're a mistake. You don't have what it takes. You'll never be enough. You're just a chance that happened over millions and billions of years. But what does God say? God says, you are made in God's image, that you are the imago Dei. Look at the person next to you. Go ahead. Yep, look at someone next to you. That person is the imago Dei. That person that you are looking at has the image of God. They are made in God's image, and they have value, inherent value, for that reason alone. You have value because you are made in God's image. John 1, 3 through 4 says, through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. Genesis 2, verse 7 says, the Lord God formed the man from the dust out of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. I love that verse because all through creation story, Jesus spoke and it happened. But in this verse, when he creates humans, when he creates human beings, there's this picture of forming out of the dust. You know, I'm not very good at playing with Play-Doh and making my little stick figure guy, but that's what Jesus did. That's what God did with us. There's this picture that he got down into the dirt and he formed us, and then he breathed his life into us. So we literally have the breath of God in us. Genesis 1, 26 through 27 says, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. You are not an accident or a chance that happened over a million years or a billion years. You are made by God, and you have purpose, and you have the breath of life, the breath of God in you. Jeremiah 1:5 says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Psalm 139:13-16, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was even born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day has passed. Before we were even born, God knew us. He knew you, and he had a plan for you for your life. That's awesome. That gives me comfort. That gives me full life because I know who I am. I know where I came from. But what is in Christ? So that's kind of like, yeah, that's when I was a little baby. But what about today, right? What does Jesus say about your identity today? I'm going to read a bunch of verses here, and then there's some promises in there that I think we need to be reminded of on the daily, right? It's not just this, hey, I know who I was and that God made me. Yes, that's true. But also, what are the promises that God is speaking over me today? These are his truths, and these inform my identity when I am in Christ. I am a new creation. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. I am a child of God. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. I am a friend of Jesus. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. I am no longer a slave of sin. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. I am forgiven of all my sins. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I am at peace with God. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I am chosen and loved by God. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. I am alive. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. It is by grace you have been saved. I am righteous and holy. Put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. I'm an overcomer. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I am gifted by God to serve others. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. I am God's workmanship, created to produce good works. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. These are awesome promises. I am statements about what God is saying about me. And in Christ, these things are true. Our identity is informed through what we know to be true from Scripture about what Jesus says about us. We know where we come from. We know what God says about us today. If you're struggling with that, I would encourage you, I can give you these notes. I would encourage you to memorize Scripture and then meditate on that Scripture. Is there something in your life that you're like, I've really been struggling with, you know, feeling forgiven? Jesus says, hey, in me, you are forgiven. Memorize that. Memorize those Scriptures. Think about them. Meditate on them. Let them change who you are so that you can have that full life. It's not a full life to go through, you know, feeling like you're just under this incredible weight. Jesus offers forgiveness. Belonging. Where do I fit? Who are my people? We all want to be seen, to be known, to be included. We all need belonging because we were made to belong. Being made in the image of God means being made for connection with others. We long for it, but we seldom find it. I think especially, and it's getting worse. According to the American Psychiatric Association, 1 in 3 Americans said they feel lonely at least once a week over the last year. I've got a big family. There's like never a moment to be lonely. But sometimes I feel lonely even in my own home, right? Jeremy Lineman from the Gospel Coalition says, for all our great advances in technology, modern Americans are more distracted than ever before. Despite constant, always-on connectivity, we're lonelier than any other human group in history. All is not well with us. Belonging is our primary human need. Beyond food and shelter, nothing promotes human flourishing like having a people and a place of belonging. Research confirms that income level, marriage, children, perceived security, all pale in comparison to belonging and promoting sustained happiness. We long to belong. In 1995, Roy Baumeister at Florida State published a substantial article demonstrating that the healthiest, most satisfied individuals in life are those who have a place to belong. In other words, our deepest satisfaction comes not from achieving some personal goal or personal autonomy, but through acceptance into unconditional love and an unbreakable belonging to a people. True belonging is being fully known and fully loved at the same time. I feel like I've read that somewhere or heard about that. So let's explore what the Scripture has to say about belonging. In Christ, we belong to God. Matthew 19:14 says, little children belong to Jesus and his kingdom. Mark 9:41 says, those who serve the poor and marginalized in Jesus' name belong to him. The church is the bride that belongs to Jesus, the bridegroom, it says in John 3. Whoever belongs to God hears and obeys his voice, John 8. All those who belong to the Son belong also to the Father, John 16. Both Jewish and Gentile Christians belong to Christ, Romans 1. Christ died so that we might no longer belong to ourselves, but belong to Christ and bear fruit for God, Romans 7. Without the Holy Spirit, no one belongs to God, Romans 8. Whether we live or die, we belong to God, Romans 14. When Christ returns, all who belong to him will be resurrected, 1 Corinthians 15. In Christ, I am fully known and fully loved. I belong to the Father. But not only do we belong to the Father, in Christ, we belong to one another in the church. Belonging to God is our deepest need. And yet God himself calls creation and life without human companionship and community not good. All the rest of the story says he created and he finished and it was good. But here he says, hey, it's not good for the man to be alone. So from God, he says, it's not good for us to be alone. To belong to God is to belong to others. We need each other. We need the church. John 8 says the children of God belong to his family forever. In Christ, we form one body, and every member belongs to all the others, Romans 12. We can't stop belonging to the body, 1 Corinthians 12. We do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers, Galatians 6. Revelation 21 and 22, at the end of days, we'll find ourselves among the diverse multitude, the ultimate and eternal place of belonging, the holy city. We belong to God, not to ourselves or to the world. Belonging to Him means belonging to His people, to His church, to His family. In Christ, we find our true belonging. I stumbled upon this from the Heidelberg Catechism, which I know some people catechism, it might make you cringe a little bit. So I see you out there. But I thought this was really good. Okay? The first question of the Heidelberg Catechism, and this is a catechism that was from the Reformers, and it's got to be close to 480 years old now, something like that. So this is something that, especially in the Reformed tradition, that they have this catechism that they come back to. As I was researching a little bit, we have God's Word, we have each other, and then catechisms is what we use to kind of inform our teaching of Scripture, our knowledge of Scripture. And so the question is, what is your only comfort in life and death? It's question number one from the catechism. And the answer that the catechism provides is that I am not my own, but belong with body and soul, both in life and in death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. We belong not to ourselves, but to God, and through Him, to His people. We belong to each other. This is God's family. We belong to each other, and we need to treat each other that way. In Christ and among His people, we are fully known and fully loved. I think we can understand that when we come to thinking about God looking at us. God fully knows us, obviously, and He loves us anyway, in spite of our imperfections, in spite of how we turn away from Him constantly. Do we have that same grace with each other? I think that's an area that we can certainly work on. The third question is, why are we here, or our purpose? As the Father sent me, so send I you, says Jesus. So why are we here? We are sent ones. We are missionaries, right? Growing up, I used to go to camp. You know, my grandpa started a camp in upstate New York, and we sang this song probably every day at summer camp. Be a missionary every day. Be a missionary every day. Tell the world that Jesus is the way. Nobody else knows it? All right. I've sang it here before, I'm sure, so. So Jesus calls us into purpose. Our purpose is to join Him in what He is doing in the world. As the Father sent me, so send I you. What was Jesus all about? That's what we should be about. Making Him known, making the Father known, knowing Him, and glorifying Him in all that I do. Jesus calls us to be salt and light. We are the light of the world, right? That is what Jesus is calling us to. Be the light of the world. Be that light in the darkness. So that's great. Yes, I'm sure most of us agree. I'm supposed to be a missionary. As a Christian, I'm supposed to do the things that Jesus calls me to do. Those are the things. That's my purpose. We can forget about that sometimes, so I think it's good to be encouraged. At camp a couple years ago, we were talking about this question. And we also talked about your little P purpose, because that's like your big P purpose. Like hey, that's everybody, all Christians for all time, forever. Live the purposes of Jesus in this world to build His kingdom now. But what's your little P purpose, right? God made each of us different. He's given us different skills, abilities, passions. Use that to live out your calling today, tomorrow, this next year, to build His kingdom, to be the missionary. It doesn't mean that you have to be the preacher in the front of the church. You can be a teacher. You can be the garbage man. You can do life. And if you're living out your purpose as a missionary, wherever it is that God has you, you can live out the purpose of Jesus for your life. So be faithful in that. Use the gifts that God has given you to serve Him, to build His kingdom. Seek Jesus and keep your eyes on Him. So how do I find that full life, that good life? I think it's good. Let's remember, it's not about driving the fancy cars. It's not about having this thing that, hey, if I ever get to that, then I'll be happy. Then I'll have the full life. No, right now, today, in Christ, we can have that full life. We can have hope. We can know who we are. We can know that we belong, who we belong to, who is our family. And we can know what life is all about. Those are the things that I think inform that good life, that full life. So I'd encourage you guys to keep going. So how do I help others find the good life, that full life? This was from the Great Opportunity Study, and going back to all these kids that are leaving the faith. The Mormons don't have that same attrition rate. And why? So this study went into it. Why are the Mormons not seeing that same rate of attrition as we are seeing in evangelicalism? So three major factors: highly engaged parents who care for their own faith and the faith of their children, other adults actively supporting youth and their walk with God, and calling youth into mission. Those are the three things that kind of sets the Mormon church apart. I see here in this church a lot of what the Mormons, like, hey, they're doing it well so that their kids don't leave the faith. I see in this church a lot of people who care about these things. I see people here every Wednesday night serving my kids at Awana. Thank you. I see people who are serving on Sunday morning. I see people who are involved in ministry at Rockside, at camp, here at the church. Thank you. Keep doing that. If we care about our youth and our children, and I think everyone in this room would say, yes, we do, we need to. Some of us still have little kids in our home, right? And so we're pretty focused on those little kids. There's a lot of people in this room that don't have kids at home anymore. What can you do to help pour into that next generation? Because this study is showing that it's parents, it's other adults, and it's calling into mission that's going to help these kids to see the good life. You're living it out every day. It's not just something that you talk about on Sunday mornings. This is something that, hey, as we're going to bed at night, we're talking about our faith. We're talking about Jesus. As we have meals, we're talking about Jesus. We're keeping our eyes on him. And so I just encourage you, if you don't have kids in the home, what are some ways that you can be focused on the youth here in this church, here in our community, because they need you, this study shows. So we talked a lot today about kind of heady things, I think, right? Not super, super practical. I liked what Tim Keller would say about, he would preach the gospel every Sunday. And maybe he was talking about another preacher, but he would say, I preach the gospel every Sunday because we need to hear it every Sunday. It's like I'm putting the, I'm putting the quarter in the slot machine, but I'm not getting the candy out yet. So I'm putting the quarter in and I'm banging on the side of this, machine so that the quarter drops, right, to the heart is what he says. So I'm putting the quarter in, and that's your brain, right? And then I'm pounding on the side. Hey, remember the gospel. Remember Jesus. Look at Jesus. And then eventually from my head, the things that I know to be true, they drop to my heart. And that's where the gospel changes how I think about others. It changes about how I look at the world and then our hands, right? So from our heart, from our emotions, then we have capacity to serve and love others and get out there and actually do something. So I would encourage you guys to think about these things. Let them drop. Let them change your heart so that we can be the hands and feet of Jesus, so that we can be the light in the world. Across many different research projects, studies have found that the most important driver of retention and attraction to faith is actually pretty simple. Actively engaging youth into a full life with Jesus in their family and church. We do that by modeling. Are you living the full life? And I understand I don't always have this mindset of like, yes, my life is good, really good, right? Sometimes I don't. Sometimes it's hard. But I need to remember what Jesus says about me, because in the long term, as long as I keep being faithful, I keep studying, I keep my eyes on Jesus, it will get better. Even if it doesn't in this world, it will get better. That's the hope that we talked about. So keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep reminding yourself of the gospel. May it change us. May it then encourage us to go out and do what God is calling us to do. So we're going to take 30 seconds to share now again, all right, with each other. I think it's important to have time for reflection. Oftentimes we leave church and then, hey, we're going to start talking. We're going to have cookies here in like a few seconds. So we're going to forget everything that we talked about because we're going to be eating cookies and enjoying the good life over in the historic church, right? So we're going to take 30 seconds. Did God say something to you this morning? And if so, how will it make a difference in your life? So what did he say? And then how will my life be different today? And I would encourage you to share that with some. We're getting deeper now. But share that with somebody next to you, and then we'll pray together. Go ahead. All right, let's pray together. If you didn't get a chance to share after, I'm sure the band is coming up, yes, for a couple songs. If you didn't get a chance to share, make that your goal on the drive home today. Share with whoever you're driving home with. If you're not driving home with someone, take some time to think. So as you get in your car, you're going to turn the car on, and I want you to think about, okay, what did I hear today, and how's that going to make a difference in my life? So spend some time talking about that on the drive home today. And if you're driving home alone, then spend some time thinking about that on your own. Let's pray, and then we'll have the band. Dear God, we thank you for this time. We thank you for time to gather together. We thank you for a time to look at you, to worship you, to hear from you, to be encouraged and to be refreshed. Lord, we all want that full and good life that you offer. So may we keep our eyes on you. May you change us, change our minds, change our hearts, change the way that we live, Lord, so that it would be honoring and glorifying to you. May we keep being faithful. May we keep serving. And may we experience and live that full life that you offer. For anybody who's here that doesn't know you, that is not in Christ, that full life is offered to you in Jesus. And so if you don't know him, come talk to me, come talk to one of the elders. I would love to share with you about how Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, the good life that he offers. And so, Jesus, we thank you that you are good and you are God, and we pray these things in your name. Amen.